Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Face Us, the radio show where we listen to your voice and talk about the corruption we all face every day in our courts. America's courts have been co-opted by organized crime organizations operating under the color of law to defraud their victims of life, property, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. We, the people, must confront the perpetrators of these crimes in order to have any hope of creating transparency and accountability in our court system and repairing our legal system. We stand with you to create this accountability. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time to face us. You are listening to Face Us Radio on Blog Talk Radio, Hidden Truth Revealed, and this is the Inside Scoop. Today is May 24th, 2023. My name is Robin Austin, and I'm with some of my co-hosts tonight.
I am Luann Fleming. I am the other co-host. Welcome, everyone, to our show. We also have Hillary Hogan joining us. Say
That's
hello
right.
to everyone, Hillary.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for joining us. And another show, another unfortunate story where the probate courts are at fault. And we thank our listeners and our guests for being with us this evening.
Yeah, we appreciate you coming on, Hillary. And we also have Marcy Freeman. I'm sure she'll be joining us. I'll see what's going on with that. She usually comes on in the beginning, the middle, or the end. So we'll see what happens when Marcy Freeman joins us. We'll bring her on to the show when she comes on. Well, everybody, Hillary, do we have anything you want to talk about real quickly before we bring on our guests?
Just want to mention a hearing that we were on yesterday that was phenomenal. The woman was not put into guardianship. It was awesome, don't you think?
Yeah. And I'm hoping that it goes away. You know, we're not sure. But they've got, and from what I heard, Hillary, is that you found one of the good attorneys for that case. And, you know, they were telling me about it. So congrats to you for doing that, you know.
Well,
so,
you know,
it was a fascinating case, you know.
So far, so good. Amber Patwell has, you know, a big heart. She's been around the block. She knows what's going on. She does criminal law. She does family law. And she's not intimidated, like so many other attorneys haven't been. But she did really well, very respectful. The judge, Judge Burton, he's one in a million. Yes, he puts people in guardianships. Yes, we're not 100% sure. But he did admit that the alleged incapacitated person had her wits about her, and she didn't skip a beat in the conversation. And instead of appointing a limited guardian, and limited, just to our listeners, limited can mean that you lose every single right except you retain the right to vote. And to me, I'd rather have the right to pick who I socialize with and the right to take care of my money than my right to vote. But needless to say, Judge Burton yesterday told Amber Patwell, who represents the alleged incapacitated lovely lady, and the attorney for one of the daughters to get together in the next 2 weeks and try to come up with some sort of agreement. If not, there would be another, he said it again. You guys talk, see what you can do, come up with an agreement to keep this American citizen out of guardianship. And I've been doing this for 5 years, whatever this is, but I'm sure Robin and Luann and Marcy, if she were on with us right this second, they would reiterate the fact that no judge ever says that. The papers are stamped.
No, you know, and I agree, except for, you know, go ahead.
No, to me, usually every single hearing, it's just like, whatever. The only difference yesterday was that the alleged incapacitated person was physically at the hearing with us. Most times
their court-appointed attorney waives their appearance. That's why it's so important that we get the word out that, unfortunately, if this happens to someone you know, you tell them right from the get-go, at least in Florida, you've got to get another attorney. Get rid of the court-appointed attorney. Hire your own attorney because they will be more apt to help you. Because in Florida, the court-appointed attorney for the alleged incapacitated person does not get paid unless a guardianship is created.
Oh, wow. Well, that's totally different in Colorado. Once you have a limited guardian put in, they get paid. Not only that, but in Colorado, the limited guardian not only gets paid, but can stay on for as long as they want, contacting all the guardian ad litem, the court-appointed attorney, and draining the estate. So, you know, I wouldn't want even a limited guardian at all, because they were supposed to be in there to help my mom with her financials, but guess what? They never did any of that. They just came in and said, we can't find Marion, we can't find this, we can't find that, we can't, this is going on, and they would do reports, and they would do this, racking up the bills, and that's all that happened in our case. So I hope to God they come to a conclusion and say, let's let the daughter take care of the, you know, take care of the mother, but no court-appointed guardian. They can still continue doing what they're doing. That's all they have to do.
Exactly. Or get someone like Amber or someone, an outsider who they trust to just take care of the bills. There aren't many. But, yeah, a limited guardianship is like a booby prize. It is the same as a full guardianship. There is no difference. So I agree with you completely on that.
It's like a booby prize.
Luann, I'll mention one thing other than what I did, and that would be on June 16th, notorious guardian Rebecca Fearley will be sentenced. June 16th in Hillsborough County on Twig Street, and we'll see what happens. It's to the judge's discretion whether she gets a day and a half or 5 years. So we shall see, but it's in a situation like this where we never get any justice, hopefully we'll be getting some justice in June.
You're right. Do you know where that case will be held at? Where's that case going to be held at?
Again?
Where's that at? In Orlando, or where is that?
No, it's Tampa. It's Tampa. That's where she was arrested, so that's where the trial was. But hopefully Robin and yourself can attend the sentencing in June.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, we'll see.
Because you're,
Well, that's 16, interesting. That's really going to be interesting.
That really would be interesting.
That would really
I hope
be interesting.
That he can be there.
Yeah.
That's because, you know, for those of our listeners that are following that case, then you'll know that she really is notorious, and there were many victims that were affected by her unethical behavior through the courts. And so it is.
It's also really big on the news out there in Florida as well.
Yeah, it could bear, it, you know, the direction that it goes. If she gets a true criminal penalty for the criminal acts that she was involved in, then that could be a bellwether. I mean, it could be, it could mark a point of change in the way that things are done in the courts.
Right.
So we're eagerly anticipating to see what really does happen. Because
we'll wait and see.
You know, that's, I can't say we're optimistic, but let's say extremely cautiously optimistic, maybe.
exactly.
That she'll get no consequences.
It'll be interesting to see what happens on that case, but you know, we have a long way to go in the nation as to getting guardianship abuse erased. You know,
it's
frantic, and we've got a case on here.
It's hard to argue that it's getting better at all. It's easy to argue that it's been getting worse, but it may just be that it's becoming more visible. So there's that.
Right. Yeah. There's a lot of advocates that have been coming forward. And like Rob and I and Marcy, we've all been involved in the AUI, American United International. There's some really good stuff happening there. So we'll keep everybody informed. We'll also have some advocates from that organization coming on with us to our radio show. We'll be talking about it one day to talk about the opening of that and what's going on with that. So that's
the
really
direction
interesting.
That is,
the direction
that is moving,
yeah.
And that's a very and that's also some very exciting developments that may be coming through that organization.
Right. So what we're going to do now is we're going to bring on our guest. But let me tell you a little bit about the show first. We're joined again, once again, by Diane Sickle Birkebeil from Lawrence County, Newcastle, Pennsylvania. I know that's a hot spot out there. We've had a lot of complaints out there to our radio shows and a lot of people complaining about the injustice in the courts out there. So anyway, we are going to talk about the story of Jane Sickle, and that's her mother. Since being on Faces Radio 125-23, things have become intense as more has surfaced about her mother, Jane Sickle of Newcastle, Pennsylvania, truly being an alleged probate victim. On 5-27-20, Diane received, get this everybody, an email from a state investigator out of Pittsburgh stating, it appears that your mother passed away 2-15-20 with no information as to where her body was. There seems to be, in my opinion and a lot of other opinions going around in this country, that there is no justice to be had in probate court, you know. So Diane is facing multiple lawsuits and losing her home to foreclosure, so let's see what we can do about that, and believes it is directly related to her being a whistleblower. Some have likened her plight, and I always have a problem saying that word, Robin, I don't know what it is, to be similar to that portrayed in the Netflix movie, I Care a Lot. So what is your thoughts? Call into our radio show, talk about your case, talk about whatever you want to, about the probate court arena, family court issues. It's all in there. Divorce courts are having issues where people are being guardianized in that situation. So there's a lot going on, you know, with our courts. So let's go ahead and bring Diane on. Your microphone is live. Welcome to the radio show.
Hi, Lillian.
Hi. Welcome back.
Thank you. I appreciate this very much.
Well, really. So we had you back on, I think you said in January, and I looked back at it, said 3 months back in the time, and you were talking about your mother, Jane Sickle, and I know that there's been a lot of issues going on with her. Go ahead and talk to us about, get us caught up about how this happened, and we'll from there, and just talk about what you can talk about. And remember, all our shows are recorded and they're archived, so keep that in mind, everybody. And like I say, we always have the free right of speech here, and we really try not to downsize any attorneys or judges, and we just try to be kind to everybody and just get the facts out there about real life experiences.
All of us realize, all of us realize that there are bad players in the courts, mm-hmm. and this is absolutely true and is verifiable and provable. There are also very good people who are working in the mm-hmm. in the courtrooms in this country that are doing right by the people who hire them to represent them in court and right. who are aggressively asserting their clients' rights in the courtrooms. And there are times when that works out beautifully and justice is actually served. But on this show, we talk about the times when the court system fails us, and so we're not maligning anyone personally, other than to say that yes, there are those that are behaving in ways that are not ethical, and we don't mind calling them out, but we generally don't do it by name for the simple reason that we're talking about people in court, and they love to sue us. And take everything that we own, because that's just some more of the same unethical crap that people have to put up with when they blow the whistle on this kind of unethical crap. So we try not to get ourselves into any deep trouble by naming names, but we do want you to hear the stories that are true that are going on in these courtrooms. And so that's the angle that we try to approach this from. But of course, our intention is not to malign anyone's character or to dissuade anyone from hiring whosoever they will to represent them in whatever courtroom they may find themselves. But be aware. Be cautious. Be wise.
Okay.
Because be wise as serpents and harmless as doves.
All right. So go ahead, Diane, and tell us the story of James Diggle.
What can you tell us about how you got where you are and what happened
and actually talk to us and let us know, did you ever think anything like this would happen to you? I mean, seriously, when I came out in through the courts and I realized what was going on, I was shocked. I was shocked, you know. So let's go ahead and talk to you about what's happening and what you feel about all this.
Yes, this started in 2017, and I had no idea until someone suggested that I watch the movie I Care a Lot, that I even had a clue that we were part of something so big and never imagined until I took part in different forums joining them that such a crime even existed. My mom was just going out to lunch and ended up being dropped off at a facility and fitted with an ankle alarm. And it actually wasn't until about 2 months ago that I actually had proof that her power of attorney was indeed changed after the idea was put on Facebook that I remained power of attorney and that I was the one that neglected all the duties, but found out that my mom had gone for a hair appointment on August 4th in 2017, and that same day her signature was obtained to designate a new power of attorney. On August 8th, 96 hours later, my mom was deemed incompetent after signing those papers and fitted with an ankle alarm, chemically restrained, prohibited a phone, and restrictions then were placed on my visits with her, which I didn't find out until her real death in 2022, that court orders had been slipped into her folder. And that's why I was never able to obtain help the whole time that she was in, because any agencies through the state, locally, Harrisburg, Pittsburgh, they all thought my mom was put there for her protection whenever they saw those court orders being protected from me. And the one who became power of attorney, she had horrible phobias that my mom was going to be harmed in her home or fall, or if she rode with anyone other than her, she would be injured in a car accident. It was a very, very sad situation, and my mom was targeted because she received two inheritances that the attorney took care of, and when I phoned him to get a temporary restraining order against the power of attorney, that's when he joined forces and designated her the power of attorney. And my mom then, they thought that she had Alzheimer's, the attorney and his partners, and she didn't. And here they thought that she was going to pass away sooner and that they chemically restrained her. And I got wind of it and was able to take pictures and took pictures to the resident doctor of the ankle alarm and her ankle so swollen. And when I got to his office, he was very excited to see me until he realized that I wasn't who he thought I was. And he was misled to believe the woman in my mother's room was his patient. And when I realized who he thought I was, I'm like, you realize that woman died before my mother was ever admitted to the facility. To which he's no longer, to my knowledge, living in the same state as we are. And, so he was approving chemical restraints over the phone, being misled, thinking that was his patient. So I wasn't allowed to see my mom. And it went from me taking to Facebook to try to save my mom, to be with my mom, to get my mom not even back home. I would have been willing for her to be at the facility if I could have even seen her, because I had no idea what was going on at the time. And everyone was led to believe we were having a family feud in which I was defamed and beside myself. But here they they kind of turn the tables to, you know, make it sound like the power attorney and I were quarreling with each other. But I think they stepped in and let each person hear one side of the story. So I don't know if the power of attorney is even aware what her responsibilities were, in which my mom, my mom's house was sold in a countywide repository sale, a house that I was supposed to be moving into with my mom about 8 weeks. In October of 2017, I was to move in with her, but August is when we thought she was going on a lunch date, never to return to her home again. And they withheld the deed, withheld my mom. And because I took to Facebook, now I'm facing lawsuits over $1 million. And I thought that they were a hoax. They were always sent out since October before every holiday or before like a birthday in the family, or the eve of my mom's death. I was to turn myself into the jail. And I thought this was all a hoax because the papers that were put in my mailbox, some of them didn't run through the U.S. Postal Service. Most of them were not on any kind of office stationery. And they were often attached to pictures of my mom, who had died 17 months earlier. Some of them were with her and an Elvis impersonator from inside the facility, her and an Easter bunny. And the papers just did not look professional.
Mm-hmm.
I thought maybe somebody got, you know, like a template or something and sent those to me. So I didn't believe it. And now supposedly I'm in trouble for contempt of court.
Mm-hmm.
I was never served papers, never charged with a crime.
Mm-hmm.
The Monday after Easter, I was to pay $5,000 to the power of attorney's attorney, in which $1,000 would be turned into fines, I believe. And when I
let's back up for a minute. So you said you were in contempt of court. What was the reason for that?
I did not show up to hearings for the lawsuits, but I was never served with papers. And since 2017, multiple times, the sheriff was sent to my house to intimidate me, never leaving indications why, but walking around my house. And I was sent, like, code enforcement fines for my mom's property that I was not the owner of. It was the power of attorney's responsibility. So I was, like, tormented and harassed, and there were several attempts to lure me into the facility. So I thought this was just another luring to try to get me to, like, lash out at the power of attorney or take legal action against her. So I didn't believe, I just thought it was one more thing. So now I'm in a real mess. And with foreclosure scheduled July 13th of my home.
So that's a different home, or is that the same home you both were going to move into?
No, this is my own home that I was supposed to sell in 2017 to move in with my mom. And then the sale fell through whenever they wouldn't give me a clear deed the attorney put her home into what's called a life estate when my dad died in 2011, telling us that after 5 years, if my mom had to be put into a facility, they couldn't take the house. The facility couldn't take the house to pay for her room and board. It would remain in our family. And there was a clause on there subjected to a life estate, meaning had I trespassed on the property, had I stepped foot on the property, I would have been arrested for trespassing unless the power of attorney relinquished my mom's interest, because no one was giving me permission. With the power of attorney restricting my visits in the facility, she sure did not want me on the property. And my mom, we were able to have no contact with her, being that, you know, no phone, not able to go in. And two, I was told, like, never to go into the courthouse alone, that they would get me behind closed doors and say that I made threats or I had an outburst or I lunged at someone, and then they would haul me off to prison and then do to me what they did to my mom, yet to shut me up and put me in psych and chemically restrain me, cut me off from society, and basically make me a cash cow like they did to my mom.
Yeah, there's always that possibility that that could happen. I've actually had like four or five cases out here in Colorado where their father was put into a guardianship or their mother, and then that daughter became or that son became the next person that was guardianized. So that money that was handed down to them was still in jeopardy. So we had like four or five cases going on in Colorado like that. So, yeah, I can see why you would think that. I really do.
That's terrible to think that that exists throughout the country. It's just, it feels like they're all doing a playbook. And I know, like, it's in retaliation. Mm-hmm. And, so, like, I submitted a story, my mom's story, to the Committee on Aging. Mm-hmm. And I was disappointed there whenever I contacted them not to get any help from them when I said about being retaliated against.
Right. Did you ever contact Ed Vallejo from America's Against Foreclosures?
No.
Yeah, no. You should definitely contact Ed Vallejo. He does a lot of work with people in foreclosures.
Okay. You know, I'm sorry. I misunderstood you. I have heard of that name. Yes, so I will look into that. Thank you.
Yeah, I have his phone number, so if you want to get his phone number from me, you should. I can send it to you right now. But I would definitely talk to Ed Vallejo because he has a lot of information on foreclosures. He really does.
Oh, great. I appreciate that.
So how long do you have before your foreclosure starts?
July 13th.
July 13th? Is that when they put it up for sale? Or?
That's when the sale is supposed to occur. And what I don't understand is why my mom's home was sold when it was, because she was only deceased for 8 days. And the commissioner, he admitted that I was never notified. He was aware the power of attorney was responsible. And he never gave me a postponement, never did a freeze, never contacted me. I had to contact him after a third party had contacted me through a text on a Saturday and told me that the house was sold, just as I was, like, getting myself together, just finding out my mom really did die after being told 11 months earlier she died, and no one would provide me any information. And at the same time, there was a tax sale on a hotel for $400,000 that wasn't paid, but yet my mom's was $13,000 total, and I don't understand why the bill, being I wasn't responsible for those taxes, wasn't put through her estate or a lien put on the power of attorney's property. When I was notified of her death in 2020, it had been a week before that the commissioner, I contacted him to see about my mom's house because it was deteriorating, and he said that he had spoken with the people involved, and they denied it. And I think, and of course, I posted that information on Facebook, and a week later is when I was told my mom passed away. And here she was being relocated. I couldn't get any information, and here the district attorney posted at 1 o'clock in the morning one night in the summer of 2020 that told a third party, who I have no idea who he is, never met him, that my mom was still alive and that he had no idea what my problem was. And prior to that, he said he didn't know me, when in fact I do have emails showing, confirming that we met in 2018 when Attorney General Gus Shapiro, who is now the governor, wanted me to meet with the district attorney, with my understanding through his secretary, to take all evidence so that the district attorney would recuse himself, investigate his father's law firm, and get back the house and get me back my mother. Instead, as soon as he shut the door and sat down at his desk, he said, "You really thought you were coming here for me to recuse myself?" And a state investigation had already been kicked off the month before with an investigator coming to my home, taking pictures of everything. And we believe that he took that information and they botched the investigation and made matters worse for me, threatening and intimidating me, in which I got for being a whistleblower, leading to me getting agoraphobia, unable to go back to work. And now here we are in foreclosure, and never able to properly grieve my mother. And when they took all her stuff, was abandoned inside her house. They left everything there, and she was forced to wear paper pull-ups, which I was told later was so that they could get Medicare reimbursement, saying that she was in such poor health, she was soiling herself. And as far as clothes, she was wearing clothes that belonged to dead people that were left behind at the facility by people who passed away. And with two inheritances and would do anything for anybody, she sure did not deserve that.
No. No, especially with two inheritances. I mean, geez, you know, I don't understand what's going wrong in our nation, but we hear these stories all the time, and the neglect of our elders and the disabled, and even their family members. I mean, the family members have taken care of their parents, you know, for years and years and years, and all of a sudden they're kicked out of the homes they're supposed to inherit. They all the estate that is supposed to be left sent down into the generations is being diminished. There is no more intergenerational for wealth, you know, because these attorneys and these people are coming in, you know, the judges are granting people to come in and take these people's estates, pay this attorney $150,000, you know, $40,000 here, $20,000 here, put her in a nursing home, you got to pay another $10,000 a month. I mean, it's ridiculous that people work their entire lives for this to happen and have no idea it could even happen is something else.
That's for sure. My dad was a lineman working with the electricity, climbing poles and all temperatures, and took such pride in providing for all of us. He would never believe this. And two, whenever my mom was put in, she was fitted with that alarm band and given, you know, sedatives to chemically restrain her, that the doctor here, we were able to just confirm last month that no one had ever approved the ankle alarm. No doctor had approved that, and that they did not obtain my mom's medical records. They admitted her August 8th, and they never got her medical records until the second week in October.
Good God.
Oh, my God. It's just such
yeah, there was
neglect, and there's stuff going on, you know.
Nothing wrong with her. She bounced her checkbook to the penny, kept her house, two-story home, did her own laundry, was immaculate. Yeah, just took care of everything, enjoyed socializing, wasn't even then allowed to, she wasn't allowed to ever leave the property to go to church to get her hair done, nothing. And never the holidays with us, the people she spent 50 years together for holidays, she wasn't allowed that anymore. It's heartbreaking.
Yeah, that's a crime, in my opinion, that,
it is.
People just seem old in years and
kidnapping.
Yeah.
It's beyond deplorable. Terrible. I'm so sorry.
Yeah. Well, you know, you hate to hear stories like this, Hillary, and, you know, we hear these kind of stories of being advocates all day long about the intrusions on our families and the indecent, you know, all the neglect of family members and stuff. I think, you know, and it's sad because there's really nowhere to go and tell people to talk about it, you know. What, you know, my question to everybody always is, what do you want to see happen? You know, what, you know?
The thing that astounds me, we hear this story is so, there's not a lot of question about the immoral and unethical behavior
mm-hmm.
of these people responsible. The courts have a responsibility to the American people
mm-hmm.
to operate in a way that looks after the common weal, that looks after the people that are in those courtrooms, so that because the idea of having courtrooms is we as a people have decided that we don't want our country ruled by roving gangs of marauders
mm-hmm.
that just make their own justice, and when they decide that somebody's, you know, violating what they consider to be right, they just take them out and hang them.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want that in this country. Mm-hmm. What we want is a system of justice
yes.
whereby when someone does something wrong, there is accountability created that is responsible in to our society and to the people of our society so that we don't have to take things into our own hands, so that I can say, well, this person did me wrong, and there is a place where we can go to say, this person did me wrong, this is what happened, these crimes were committed against my mother, or in this case,
mm-hmm.
And I want to see a resolution that holds those people responsible for their crimes and recompenses me, preferably from those people, for whatever they took that was unethically taken, that was wrongly taken, that should never, you know, including the lives of our loved ones.
Now that's the hardest part.
You know, because the reality is, if you or I or any other common citizen went out and captured someone off of the street on their way to a hair appointment and then locked them up and then didn't let them speak to their loved ones, put them in an ankle bracelet, restricted their freedom, restricted their ability to talk to their loved ones, drugged them and robbed them of their possessions and coerced them through whatever suasions may have been used.
Mm-hmm.
You will sign this paper or else. You know, if there was a gun to her head, we don't know.
You don't know.
And so what we have is basically this kind of what appears to any reasonable person to be thuggery
mm-hmm.
where you've got criminals operating and in an organized crime, racketeering influence, corrupt organization, these things really should be handled under the RICO statutes, and yet to get any of them into a courtroom that has any relationship to justice
mm-hmm.
or even the truth seems so impossible that it looks like this insurmountable wall to us. We run as hard as we can
exactly.
to get up this hill, and it just gets steeper and steeper as you go until every single person falls back down. No one is able to get justice in this unethical court system
yeah.
for these crimes against our loved ones.
Right, and now you've got me going, not even one iota of justice from the get-go. In guardianship probate court, there is no transcripts. There is no court reporter. You have to pay for it if you want it. There are no jury trials, but yet these huge companies that are suing each other for whatever stupid reasons, all for, as Robin would say, the almighty dollar, they get everything, jury trials, but we don't get that for the elderly. No one really,
wow.
honestly, with to the greater degree, no one gives a darn about the elderly. Let's sell the houses for our fees. Let's get the special needs trust. We'll know we'll always have our fees through that. But the fact that we can't even have a jury trial of six or seven people to decide what's going on
it says everything that the public needs to know. The fact that your mother was probably not allowed at any of her court proceedings is enough for anyone to know what's going on. We look at the hearing the other day. This was one of the few times that the alleged, everything is about that person, but they're never present in that kangaroo court.
Right.
Yeah. And in that court, they said, we're here only for you, what's in the best interest of you. And it goes through my mind all the time when they say that, is it really the best interest of that person? Is it really? You know, because it doesn't seem like it. It really doesn't to me. You know, especially when attorneys go in there and the judges award them $160,000, $40,000, $80,000, whatever, and the person is still in guardianship in an isolated place. It doesn't make sense to me. So, you know, that's why we talk a lot freely on this show about the injustices of these probate courts, and the family courts are the same. They're going through people like human trafficking at its finest, nonstop. And, you know, and that's
right.
And that's the thing that irritates me, Hillary, about this case is that how her mother treated, you know?
I mean, I'm so sad about it.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
It brings back so many just sad thoughts about how the elderly, and we don't even know, because a good many people who are put into guardianship, they're not allowed any access with the outside world.
Right.
But we know
right.
about the ankle bracelets that prisoners get. We know how many people we lost that were wards of the states that were in guardianship during COVID, and their parents, their children begged for their release. You've got the money. Keep all the money. But let us take our loved one home to a house that's clean with very few people. And when the pandemic subsides, we'll give your prisoner back. But we just want to keep them alive. That never happened. And so many people
right.
under guardianship died for no reason.
Oh, there's so many. It's like that rampant disease going around. This is just as bad. Every bit as bad as the COVID, in my opinion. You know, because for one thing, people don't know what's going on. They're being blindsided from it. You know, and people have no idea. They think that their trust and their powers of attorneys are going to help them. Sometimes they do. Sometimes they will. But a lot of times, it didn't help my family at all. None of the paperwork we had helped my family whatsoever.
Oh, dear. And that's the thing, too. COVID really helped them out, because when they said that she had died the first time, I was notified May 27th of 2020 that she died February 15th. At the start of COVID, and then we couldn't get anybody to go in. There, you know, nobody, nothing. They used that to their advantage, and then found out that they relocated her. And that's the thing, too, when you were talking about the courts, this lawsuit, why we also thought it was bogus, was because it's like a hand-in-hand lawsuit where three of them are going in together. Two out of the three, the hearing was held the same day, and it was in the same courtroom that the district attorney works in. One of his judges was going to oversee it. So I didn't stand a chance and had no idea what
I was looking
for.
What day officially did your mom pass away?
My mom passed away April 22nd of 2021. And then her house was sold April 30th. And that's the thing. They owe me money from that. I mean, I wanted my parents home. I wanted to move into it, planned on moving into it with my mom. Then when she passed away, thought I was going to move into it, be able to sell mine and start my life over again. And they refused to give me the money, instead doing the lawsuit and threatening me with prison for 30 to 60 days, when I just wish they would give me what they owe me and let me leave town, really.
Yeah, and then now your house is Do you have any plans what you're going to do if you do lose your home? Do you have any ideas or what you might do after that? Leave the state possibly, or what would you do?
I honest to God have no idea what I'm going to do. I'm such a nervous wreck between a bench warrant being issued on me, afraid to go anywhere with the agoraphobia, and I just have no idea what one day to the next brings, and just keep praying. And my saving grace was the COVID, delaying the foreclosure when my mom did die, because there was the restrictions, you know, the ban on evictions. Plus, I had cancer, so I got sympathy from the bank. And then just by luck, I was transferred to another bank representative to handle my case. And he's like, we're trying to figure out what you're trying to tell us. And I said, well, have you seen the movie I Care a Lot? And with that, everything changed. And then they have been very helpful working with me. And it's been a blessing. And now there is more coming down, you know, with my mom, like with this lawsuit, and then getting the confirmation that the power of attorney was changed, finding out the commissioner admitted I was never notified. We're praying for another extension and just praying that the district attorney realizes this is ridiculous. Just pay me what they owe me from my mom's house and let me move on. Just leave me alone and quit sending the sheriff to my house. Quit threatening me, trying to lure me into being arrested. I can't find a lawyer that wants to get involved. Everybody from, we're like at the Ohio line, from Cleveland to New Jersey, nobody, they all know us. They don't want anything to do. They don't want to go up against the district.
I agree.
And jeopardize their careers.
We've got, I mean, we have few and far between, and we know the few that have fought for victims like us. They are ostracized and they are basically forced out and leave the profession. But we have to keep going. And I'll tell you this, I do believe for a fact that your mother is so proud of what you are doing and honoring her and for fighting for her and for the house. And it would have been very easy. No one would have faulted you years ago for walking away because it is, you know, the stress is overwhelming. Someone knocks on the door. You have, you know, you have a panic attack. And that's on a good day. So your mother is very, very proud of what you're doing because you are, believe it or not, helping other victims who are listening to the show tonight. And that's so important. And I thank you.
Appreciate that.
Right. You know, and the more stories that we tell, the more, you know, probate issues we put out there, the books we're writing. Robin and I are writing a book. We got the name of the book coming out. We've got, I'm hoping, it's kind of hard to write a book, though, because there's so much involved that luckily we have these radio shows and we can go back and listen to all the stories, and we can, you know, we're kind of, you know, at, you know, like a paragraph of what they think of our unjust judicial system. We're not really taking personal stories of families, but if they've ever been in a probate court, how unjust they are, and talk about that and send us a paragraph, and we're going to be having like one chapter alone in there of different states coming in talking about the unethical probate courts in their area, even a family court, because all of these are combined basically because it's all so unethical.
Well, the injustice is so widespread.
It's so widespread. It's so.
I mean, even criminal courts. That of course we are focused mostly on the so-called courts
probate,
equity, which is doublespeak if I've ever heard anything that was. Because there's nothing equitable about these courts at all. You know, equitable implies some kind of balance, some kind of relationship where some justice actually is involved. But there is no justice in these courts at all.
Right.
And but the same can be said about many criminal courts. I mean, the number of people on death row that get vindicated because they were innocent from the beginning, Mm-hmm. And their, you know, they, and the way that they were prosecuted involved fraud and deception on the part of the prosecutors. You know,
this is, I
mean, that's just as much, that's happening just as often, I suppose, in those corrupt courtrooms as in the corrupt courtrooms of probate. People are robbed of their belongings, their estates, their freedom, and their loved ones and their lives.
You know, and it's the same thing like you're talking about the probate court, I mean, the foreclosure courts. You know, I get all these issues coming in with the Americans Against Foreclosures, and they have cases every day. You know, bank takes two homes of immigrant couple, you know, and here it is going on again. You know, it's nonstop over the foreclosures going on, nonstop over the injustices in our courts. I really do believe, like Marcy always says, that we're turning into a fascist state.
I do too.
I really believe that. The more I listen to all these stories, and I was on Facebook the other day, and there was this one guy that got on there, and they were talking about on there how you can pass your home down to your family member just like that. And I'm thinking, well, I wrote in there something about you got to be careful in the probate courts, and that if you don't have a trust or will, they can come after you. And everybody on that news feed told me I had no idea what I was talking about. And I just sat there for like hundreds of people telling me I have no idea. And I kept saying, watch Hidden Truth Revealed, Blog Talk Radio. And that's all I just did. I just started posting that everywhere for like five solid days. And I finally got a response back saying, you're right. I just didn't even know what to say, and I thought, wow, this is unbelievable. How many people out there have no idea what's going on?
But we were them years ago. You know, we were them. I mean, I always say that I was a Whitsitt City girl, New York City girl, you know, not afraid of a gun in my face, you know, not safe. No one would get over on my family. Had no idea about guardianship. Always thought it was for children who were abandoned, and it was a good thing. Clueless 100,000,000%. And so I guess I was one of them, and unfortunately, you know, we learned from going through it, but knowledge is power. If someone tells you something, you really should take a look and see. You know,
right?
What the other
right.
side
exactly.
is, obviously, you would see that it's happening.
Well, I get it now. You know, I understand the process, and I understand the guardianship pattern is, you know, you basically, you know, you litigate, you isolate, sometimes medicate, you take the estate, you sell it. Sometimes they cremate. I understand that playbook, what's going on, because I've heard it over and over for 7 years on these radio shows.
And I've seen it in case,
and we've listened to it on how many Zoom calls have we been on, Hillary, between, you know, Elliot Bernstein's story and the Roger Hilligus stories and all these stories across the nation. How many times have we been in these guardianships, you know, hearings? Hundreds. I would say.
Tons, and that's, you know, and also, you know, that was the few, if any, positive things about COVID, at least, you know, the Zoom.
Mm-hmm.
I never been on a Zoom meeting, I don't think ever. And now, you know, we're going on these hearings. Thank goodness they're still having them. But let me just tell you a quick story. I don't think it's random, but if it is, just bear with me. So Luann was saying, you know, that the catchphrase is what happens to the wards, isolate, medicate, leave the estate, cremate. There's a ward, and it's really like I know these people, these human beings. I never meet them. I never will, but I know their stories and their nightmare, what they've gone through. So there's a Margie Kriegler in Orange County, which is Orlando area in Florida. She died a few years ago. She was divorced, lots and lots and lots of money saved, but she was an animal lover. She used to volunteer, and she would give nominal donations to this animal sanctuary that was run by this couple in Orlando. And this sanctuary, it was for animals that even animal lovers wouldn't take. They were like the worst of the worst, all different kinds. And so Margie loves spending her time there. The people that owned it, one of them is still alive, Nancy. She's in her 90s. They would help Margie when she fell, which was what led up to the guardianship, and they would take care of her cats. And someone was, trolling the halls of this rehab, and long story longer, Mrs. Creeler got put in a guardianship. The couple and a few of the employees from the sanctuary wrote letters to the judge that went unanswered, and they were basically trespassed from the facility and could no longer speak to Margie. So I called up the lady. Her husband had died, and I told her about Mrs. Creeler, and I said, I can't remember her exact name. We'll call her Linda again. Mary, we'll say. And I said, Mary, maybe Mrs. Creeler left you something in her will because she didn't have any family. She says, Hillary, I don't want any money from Mrs. Creeler. She goes, but what I would love is, and I'll let you know that we have a little cemetery on our property. It's a big property. My husband's ashes are there. The animals' ashes are there. And Margie always made me promise that when she passed away, that her ashes would be there as well because of her love of animals and the sanctuary. So I said, let me call the guardian. I called the guardian. She got back to me in like a week. And I told her the situation. And end of the story is that the guardian and the attorney refused to give this sanctuary Margie's ashes. So they are sitting, if they're not at the city dump right now, I hate to be, talk like that, but if they're not at the city dump, they're sitting on someone's shelf, gathering dust. And what would be the big thing to give Margie, Mrs. Creeler's ashes to this animal sanctuary so that Margie could finally lay at peace with the animals that are there next to her. It's just barbaric.
Yeah, it's pretty sad because, you want to respect the wishes of these elderly people, and it just seems that what would be the big deal of letting these ashes go on that, and what's the big deal if, another case, why can't this little boy see his dad for the first time in 4 years? What's the big deal? Why is this happening?
Because it would be relinquishing some of the power trip that these individuals have. It would make them seem human, and that's what it is. It's a special kind of person that, and I don't mean special, that is just overbearing and zealous in a bad way. And these are our parents. These are our children. We love them. And never, ever have I heard anyone, and I mean anyone, in the 5+ years that I've been doing this, say to me, or have I read anywhere, that guardianship was the best thing that happened to their loved one. Not once.
Not one.
Maybe with a family member, but not with a for-profit guardian. Not once have I heard that. And that should also say something as to the realism of what is really going on in guardianship.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Because here we invite public comment. If there were those who have had positive experiences with the guardians who were, for hire and actually were kind and helpful and useful to that person, you would expect that. I mean, that is what the judge supposedly is appointing someone to be, is kind and helpful and useful in the life, and that is given this service of a guardian. And yet we never hear anyone say, oh, yes, the guardian that was appointed by the court was the kindest person. They were, they took very good, very, very careful care of my needs. This was the best thing that ever happened to me. I'm so grateful. We don't get to hear that at all, because the kind of people, it seems, that are attracted into this industry, it seems, are
the bad players.
Sociopaths.
Yeah, the bad
people
players.
Who want to control the lives of others, rob those people and kill them. And I don't like to say that, and I don't really believe that it's like that for all of them at all.
Mm-hmm.
But
I
sure
agree.
Wish it weren't so common.
Mm.
Go ahead, Hillary.
I agree. There have to be good guardians out there, and I do believe that they're outnumbered, so maybe that's why, I guess they really shouldn't be vocal. It should just be obvious, but the only people that really are saying we're good, no, we're not bad, don't believe I care a lot or whatever, these are sore losers who, don't have a say in their family's life, are the guardians, and it's just like, it's so tacky when they're trying to rationalize what they're doing.
Yeah, it's very much like a politician trying to get elected. Look at what a good person I am. Look, I'm kissing babies.
I was just going to say, I'm holding a baby. Yes, I'm good.
Yeah, and it's just, or it's like a minister that's making bank and living high on the hog, getting $60 million
right.
a year and owns 7 mansions and is telling everybody, if you really want God to bless you, send me money. Really, I think what we're talking about is the face of evil, the face of wickedness, the face of corruption, the face of what it is to be wicked and evil, and to live that way, and to live a lifestyle that is based on the abuse and harm of others, because that's what's going on. That is how it is.
It's dictatorship, in the sense of these guardians. I'll never forget, when my dad was put into the emergency guardian and I met with the guardian at Starbucks, not realizing I was being charged by the, my dad was being charged by the hour. And the guardian, who had no idea who I was, my children, and my dad, she said, oh, no, there's no way that your father will ever be living with you and your young children. That's just not going, to happen. Like, who the fuck are you to even make that decision? It's one thing to decide what color shoes you're going to wear for the day, but just to have that power with so little, just forget about any kind of education, when there are family members around, this is just insane. Insane.
That's insane.
And
yeah.
And no one goes.
And,
go ahead, Luann.
And go ahead, Hillary. Continue.
No, I was just going to say that automatically, with the exception of yesterday, which was like mind-blowing again, that a guardianship wasn't appointed, but, no one goes and says, okay, what's the least possible alternative to guardianship, whether it's the advanced directives, whether it's an outsider who charges, $200 a month to pay the bills, because that's usually with family what the conflict is about. It's cut and dry. Always cut and dry.
Yeah, but what is the least restrictive?
The money maker.
Yeah, what would be the least restrictive?
Well,
that
is the question that theoretically the judge should be examining first before anything else, because judges, our courts are not there to steal our freedom from us. That's the last thing a court is supposed to do. What they're supposed to do is protect our freedoms, to protect us from having those freedoms taken from us. So a guardianship, the way that is practiced in our country and pretty much throughout the world, I guess.
It's human ownership.
It's basically a form of human trafficking.
Yeah,
it is human ownership.
It
is converting a person into a piece of property and then monetizing them in the most efficient way that is conceivable for that whoever that is doing the monetizing. And that's
let's open
that's
up our
horrendous.
Phone lines. And
yes, I was just going to say, if you've been listening and you would like to comment or have a question, please call in. That number is 845-241-9962. And to make a comment or a question, you would raise your hand. The way that you do that is by pushing a 1. So it's 845-241-9962. And press a 1 if you'd like to comment or like your voice to be heard. We love for our listeners to participate in our show, and we'd be delighted to hear from you if you'd like.
Right,
you've got something
and
to
the
say.
Question tonight is, if now they do talk about, like the decision care, decision making. What was
assisted
that?
Assisted decision making?
Assisted decision making.
Mm-hmm. So what would you say about that, Hillary? Do you know much about that at all?
I know a bit, not 100%, but it goes through the court system. There are lawyers involved. There's money there. So it sounds really good, doesn't it? But in actuality, it is an attorney who is involved and is getting paid. So I'm not for it.
I have to just sort of, the image that comes to my mind is you can get the snake in the old skin, or you can get the snake in the beautiful, shiny new skin, but you still get to deal with the snake.
Yeah, it's a supported decision making is what it is, and I was just trying to.
Yeah, and that's, and of course, we've seen over and over and over whenever we try to pass any legislation that creates any accountability for the courts, such as the most recent one that I recall, when we went to the legislature and said, really, when someone dies, the kids should be notified that their mother has died in a timely fashion. They should be notified right away. That shouldn't be something that's waited on. And the Bar Association absolutely just clawed and bitten and fought and like cats to prevent that law from going on the books, because they didn't want to have to tell the family, your mom died. Well, if I'm the guardian, I don't want to have to tell you that. Well, that seems absurd. On the surface, it seems, what kind of insanity is that? This is just immorality institutionalized. And of course it is. But what you have to understand is that there's a whole institution that is threatened by accountability. If there's one little drop of accountability where, now you are responsible to notify the family, well, they've just taken a little bit of power away from that person who has total power over your loved one.
And
now
pass.
You have a little bit of power to say, well, you didn't notify me, and I'm suing you for that.
Right.
And
so in Colorado, they don't even have to notify you at all. Your parents even died.
No. So they fought tooth and nail against they wanted to make it 60 days that you would have to be notified after.
30.
Well, no, they started at 60.
Then they went to 30.
And then
that's off.
And then it got to where they were negotiating somewhere around 3 days. But of course, as always, what happened was that it went into committee.
Mm-hmm.
Where it died. So there's no law on the books that has anything to do with, when your loved one has moved from their home, you don't have to be notified. When your loved one has moved from the nursing home where you've been visiting them to God knows, only God and the guardian knows where, you don't have to be notified. When your loved one has moved to the morgue, you don't have to be notified. You don't have to be
notified
at all.
Anything.
They don't have to tell you nothing. And, of course, we all know that your loved one is not going to be able to call you and talk with you.
Mm-hmm.
Because the first thing they do is take away their cell phone and cut them off from interaction with loved ones.
You know, and after working in legislation for 10 years, I don't even want to go that route hardly anymore. I'm so burned out on that.
Sort of a choice between going and talking to legislators or banging my head against a brick wall. I get exactly the same result with just a headache.
I think of writing a book about everything here in Colorado and different states, and if anybody has information on your states, what's going on, we'd like to put that in our book if we can verify everything going on. You know, like in Colorado, I'm writing down that there were three audits done in 2006, 2011, 2017, and nothing has changed.
They found numerous problems which were detailed in the audit report, and then they found the same problems in the next audit report, and then they found the same problems in the next audit report. So they actually did do an audit and report on what the problems were, and nobody gives a damn.
Nobody
cares.
Nobody
knows anything about it.
They raise the bond of an attorney from $25,000 to $100,000. That's all that is accomplished in 17 years, sir. That's all it's accomplished.
If I could just say something, today Ron DeSantis, you know, came out on Twitter with all the snafus and announced his run for president, but I will quote him verbatim. I think it's almost five years ago, where he said on TV at a news conference or something that there is no accountability in the guardianship system in the state of Florida. We got to do something about this. And guess what? Nothing was done. We're at the same situation.
That's what's going on here.
But it made a nice sound bite, and it postured him as someone that we, those who care about our loved ones, can trust because he said the right thing.
I would never vote for him. I don't care if he comes out as president. I would never vote for him. I'm telling you, it's so slim out there of the candidates, but I'm telling you, if anybody comes out there, Robert F. Kennedy. He's got so much on the line. He wants to tell the truth. He's been silenced for so long.
Well, he has been telling the truth,
mm-hmm.
and that's why you can't find him. If you go on Google, you can't find anything except a character assassination against him. If you
go on
the major media, you'll just find character assassination against him. Because he's been telling the truth for years and years and years. When the hog farm industry was despoiling the waters in North Carolina, and he was the one who filed lawsuits on behalf of the and founded River Keepers. He was one of the founders of River Keepers,
mm-hmm.
which bought up rivers, which, you know, got together monies and bought up the rivers to protect them.
Right.
To protect much of the water.
He also went up against the Monsanto.
He also filed lawsuits against Monsanto and was able to prove in court.
Which is a huge company.
Which is huge. Monsanto, people are, you know, quiver in their boots when you say Monsanto,
mm-hmm.
because they're such a gigantic corporation.
And guess what? He said.
And he proved in court that glyphosate, the product that's still being sprayed on crops every day in this many, many countries, is causing cancer and does cause cancer.
And the reason he's running for president, he came out to talk to Dr. McCullough about that.
Mm-hmm.
He said the reason why he's running for president is so they can't silence a candidate going up what they want to say, mm-hmm. about anything. They can't censor them, you know, stop them from talking. So he wants to spill the whole beans about the corrupt judicial system of everything going on because they can't stop them. He said it'll be the first time his whole life that he won't be stopped by Google or Twitters or any of those outfits. They won't stop him anymore.
Right, because they blackballed mm-hmm. everything he had to say. They called him a disinformation, and of course that's exactly what they do to anyone who's telling the truth to the American people. Is to say, I'm sure that, you know, mm-hmm. if we got big enough, then we'd be on the list of the disinformation bunch because we tell the truth.
And besides, his goal, which was John F. Kennedy, died on my birthday.
in second grade.
And that, and he recently announced that he's got evidence that the CIA was involved in the death of both his uncle and his father.
Yeah, so we're following that very
he
closely
is,
here,
he
you
is
know.
A Kennedy from the
yeah.
That's right.
Wow.
That's
I
right.
mean, you know,
it's gonna
no
be
matter what you think. It that is mm-hmm. great. I'm so excited that he's running then.
Yeah, he is running. He announced it,
awesome.
And I'm even going to help with this radio show and as much as I can to get him in there. I mean, the Kennedys were in there once before, and they're awesome, awesome. But they are
yeah.
truth seekers. They work with Dr. Uh-huh. McCall. He's been interviewed on a lot of shows. We've listened to a lot of those. He got up and he was speaking, and in this one show, and he goes, "I'm just going to tell it how it is. I've been censored for 18 years, and I'm just going to tell the American people." Our judicial system is corrupt. Our food industry.
But you know what else he says?
Corrupt.
He says
our,
we have got to
mm-hmm.
not just realize that
mm-hmm.
it is corrupt, but we have to know who is corrupt, which individuals are responsible for the corruption in what key positions, and we have to also have some idea of who we're going to put into those positions
mm-hmm.
when we get into office. He said, these are the things that I can do. He said, I know the good people
said,
that will be able to repair, and I know the corruption. I know who's corrupt in what positions in all of these government agencies.
He wants to repair
and he's
the
intending
whole
cabinet. To put key people into the government that are not appointed by the drug companies to regulate the drug companies, that are not appointed by the food companies
mm-hmm.
to regulate the food supply,
we might
that are not appointed by the big farms to regulate agriculture. You know, so
this is
I know we just took a turn, but boy, I'm telling you, this is some of the best news to come out in this country in the last, oh gosh, 50 years that I've been alive.
Right, and so we've got a lot of work to do to promote them and to keep them going. And it's like, that's what we do on our radio show too as well. We promote the good attorneys, the good judges, the good candidates, the good,
mm-hmm.
you know,
that's
everybody.
Right. That's
the
right.
good family members. You know,
that's right.
Everybody that's in the good. And it's like... And every time everybody asks me something about probate, I'll say, just go watch the movie I Care a Lot, just like, you know, our guest on here tonight is. She said, you know, go see the I Care a Lot movie. And that really does help, right?
Well, it does,
Joanne,
because
yeah,
it gives people an understanding
yeah.
of,
yeah.
you know, of something. I mean, because the average person who
no
hears
idea.
About what we talk about for the first time is just like... Puzzled. Amazed and has difficulty believing that it can even be true. They will say, you know, as a matter of fact, the thing that we heard more often than anything when we first started telling people, when, you know, this is what they're doing in the probate courts, the answer was, well,
they can't do that.
They can't do that. What do you mean? That can't be right because they can't do that.
They have to go according to your trust and your will.
No, they can't
do
that.
Yeah, they have
that.
To do that.
That's your... What do you mean they're doing this? That's not really possible. I don't understand what you're saying.
Judge. And, judge will
probate courts are for people when they die. That's it. You know?
it's astounding that the naivete. But, you know, it is conditioned into us.
Mm-hmm.
And then that conditioning that we receive through our upbringing in a society where we're brainwashed by the major media and we're not educated in the schools
mm-hmm.
to very much that's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And when we come up against it, then the vast majority of people are also silenced, and they'll silence you right in court. The judge will tell you, if you say a word, then you're about what's going on with your family
mm-hmm.
on social media, you're getting a $5 million fine,
mm-hmm.
which happened to someone I know. I mean, I'm not just talking out my
ass. Yeah, quite a few people.
You will be in contempt of court. We can
Ralph.
Lock you up
uh-huh.
for that. We're going to fine you $5 million
Reverend Ralph
if you don't
went
take
that.
That down from the internet.
Yep.
Because we don't want people knowing what's going on in these courts. We don't want the truth to be told.
But not in my court.
Yeah. And,
you know that judge uh-huh. yesterday, Hillary, he got in and he goes, I don't know who these thousands of people are.
Yeah. Oh, my
and
God.
There
was really funny parts of it. It was just so, it was just something. And, you know, we had been on one of his hearings for Dr. Eckert a few weeks prior, and he was okay, though. He really, remember when I think you guys were on that, I pointed out, you know, everyone was saying,
yeah.
Oh, we have to take care of Dr. Eckert's millions of dollars. We have to watch it from people that want to exploit her. I said, Your Honor, I said, the proposed emergency guardian, you know, Jerry, you know, Schneiderman, I said, he had a bankruptcy last year. And then the attorney goes, yes, argumentative. But I mean, you know, and there's nothing wrong with having a bankruptcy, you know, God, you know, things happen, but I wouldn't mind want my mother to have a guardian who just had a bankruptcy last year, but he's something, and he's, you know, I think he's a breath of fresh air, but, you know, when, and did you hear at the end, so one of the daughters, we're not mentioning names, I guess had a fight with the other sister, and she pulled a gun on her. The gun didn't have any bullets, no one was harmed, but the daughter, you know, now there's something in criminal court, so the judge at the end of the hearing says, listen, if you don't come to some sort of agreement concerning Mrs. Joe, you know, James, you know, schedule a hearing. I don't care if it's 4 days, but then he goes to the daughter, and listen, Maria, no guns allowed in the courtroom. I mean,
oh, my gosh. And I know exactly. If he's like, he goes, and I just don't think this daughter should be involved. One, you know, they could shoot each other, they could do whatever, but just to come to a decision, and I'll rule on that. And if you want to see how fast money's going to go, we'll just go back to court, you know. And I was just,
but
just,
that's
just
not
thundered
how
it, about
you know,
what he was talking about at the time.
But, you know, also, I do have to say that I honestly do feel that our presence, that is, the activists,
yes, I agree.
And the, were sitting in that courtroom, and it was a Zoom courtroom, but there was, you know, he's looking at this gallery of faces and saying, who are all these people in my courtroom? Why are they all here? You know, and he starts to sort through them and say, why are you here? Why are you here? Why are you here?
Mm-hmm.
And it's sort of, he's like frustrated, and he's running into a little bit of angst here because.
But we've seen
being watched.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's
and
being watched.
Realized.
We've seen judges, though. We've seen judges on Zoom meetings that it's they just cut the cord on all of us. So this guy was okay.
Big time.
What I didn't agree
that
with.
Oh, when Rick Black was.
Oh, my God. He made some. Yeah, but he did make the point that it was the respondent's choice whether the hearing was open or closed, and that really, you know, nipped it in the bud that our presence was basically allowed. But finally, what I did not agree with him, and it was like he was drinking the Kool-Aid that his fellow attorneys gave him, to say that the examining committee members do it out of the kindness of their hearts. No, they don't. They get paid $500 for 20 minutes of their time. And if you ask them in open court, Mr. Jones, how many assessments have you done for guardianships? Well, I've done about 400 over the last, you know, 12 years. Well, of those assessments, how many times did you find that the alleged incapacitated person had capacity? I don't think any, because they don't get paid. Or that's what the word on the street is. They don't get paid if they find someone to have full capacity. So it's either the booby prize, the limited guardianship, which is the same, or the full guardianship. But they don't do it out of the kindness of their heart.
Right.
I don't
know.
They even asked this, the lady on there that was going to be put in guardianship, they asked her, how long was the people out there to see if you're incapacitated or not? She was, probably about 40 minutes. 45 minutes. You know, she knew exactly everything he was talking about. She did not miss a beat, that lady. I was so proud of that, you know.
And you know something? It would be the same with my dad. No matter what either one of us did,
he would still say, you know, I love both of my daughters, you know, like I wanted to say, oh, this one, I don't want anything to do with her. But, you know, our parents love us for our good and our bad. But even when he said, oh, do you drive? She goes, oh, yeah, I drive, but not far. I only drive around my, community and all that. But I don't know if she realizes how lucky she was yesterday. She hit the jackpot yesterday by not getting the cover.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. He walked out of that courtroom a free woman.
Yep.
And
lived to see another day.
Yeah.
That's right. Free to live another day without somebody making all of the decisions in her life.
We're hoping that. Well, this has been a lovely conversation, you know, and we talk a lot. You know, and we talk a lot, and, you know, and that's why we wanted to talk, you know, a lot about this, Dave, because of the injustices that we're having here. And, like, I've been following the story a lot, you know, that you've had on Facebook, you know, about what happened to your mom, you know, with our guest on today. And it's this kind of issue is happening just rampant across the whole nation. We even have these issues happening. People are complaining in Australia. They're complaining. Some people are saying in Germany and different places. All this is starting to happen
in
Ireland. In the UK. It's not just the United States, but I think the United States is one of the biggest pillars of it.
Oh,
I really do.
It's kind of like, where's all the military spending? Well,
so let's
we're
go back
far
to,
and above ahead of the world.
So let's go back to
areas.
Diane. What do you want to see out of everything going on with your case, and what do you think we can do here to help here at Faces Radio?
There's just a way that they could be confronted and asked, why did they sell my mom's house? Why didn't they give me the opportunity? Why was it such a rush? Why can't they reimburse me the loss of the home and put aside these lawsuits and just call a truce and leave me alone and no more intimidation, no more anything. And I would really love to see audits done of the facility, beneficiaries, things, you know, accounts there, like were there other victims and deeds too. Of other repository sales? Were there other people that had passed away? And in our case, too, there were unauthorized address changes that were done over the course of 7 years. And but, yeah, just if there was just a way to get the audits and get the money returned to me, I just I can't believe that I was never given a chance. Why wasn't a lien put on the power of attorney's house? Why weren't the bills collected through my mom's estate? Why are they letting me do this? Everybody in town knew that I had cancer. Everybody knew that I was, you know, fighting to save my mom, then to save her house, now to save my house. Like, how am I so worthless that they're still getting away with this and no one's holding them accountable? Especially, and to the gentleman that had it, that wanted to sell, they went into this newly elected as the commissioner and the mayor, which was a good thing to have this repository sale to take blight off and put these vacant houses back on the tax rolls. My mom's house sat vacant for 44 months because they refused to let me have access to her home, disconnected all the utilities, everything, you know, was overgrown. And here they were letting it be overgrown and sending me every month inspections that, you know, that I was responsible, which I wasn't. Power of attorney was that they were trying to intimidate me to remove my name as the remainder man or to get me on the property, get me for trespassing, and then silence me that way. There were so many, like, setups. They were just trying so hard to quiet me, where if they would have just...
Well,
you know,
like our radio show is called, like our radio show is called Exploring the Pennsylvania Probate Court System of Injustice. We've had a lot of people come onto our show and talk about Pennsylvania and the injustices that are there. I agree that something needs to be done with the courts, not only there, but boy, I tell you, Ohio and and Michigan.
Yes.
And oh my, there's so many up there that I'm afraid to even travel up there. I'm like, I don't know if I want to go in that area. You know, I'd love to visit all these different states, but man, you know, you're afraid if you end up in a hospital somewhere, you might not come out. You don't know. I told Robin, if I travel anywhere, take me back to Colorado or somewhere before you take me to hospital. Don't do it.
Honey, if I break my arm in Florida, take me to North Carolina before we set it.
Yeah.
Fill up the gas tank and keep driving until we're out.
Get me the hell out of there. Guardian state.
Yeah, because I heard if you end up in Florida and you end up in one of the hospitals, they can guardianize you there.
And take
Georgia.
Whatever property you have in whatever state it is.
I told you.
That's the law that they passed in Florida.
Pack me up and get me out of there.
You know?
Oh, God.
And, yeah, so we're...
yeah.
You know, I would love to be able to say that there's an answer that we know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of the things that we have been able to successfully do is to help people to network with each other.
Mm-hmm.
If we have the names and addresses of people in Pennsylvania, and it's all right with you.
Well, I know there's a Mary Bush
Diane,
up there that's
you know,
going on.
We might share that information with others. And
right.
Because one of the things that we like to do is to try to get people to network with each other.
And build
because
their
one of the things,
team, you know.
That's right. When you build a team of people, that is one thing that can begin sometimes to get some results. It was when we had a group of people who were outside of the courthouse in Colorado where there was a particular probate judge that was had an unethical court. And we had about a dozen people that we were able to
assemble. Oh, more than that. We had 25, 30 families at one time we were up there.
Okay.
But
well,
you need a lot of families.
We got
200 in Colorado
now. But we got a lot of them to get out with us, and a lot of them wore masks because they were afraid of retribution from the court.
Mm-hmm.
So, but we made sure that we talked to the police about where exactly can we protest. We want to have protest signs. Where can we... You know, where can we walk? Where can we protest? And how big can the signs be? And we made sure that we're abiding by all the laws.
And we did at the Supreme Court
in America, we have the right to protest. So we showed up with our signs and our people, and
we did that.
And we did
that
several days in a row.
Right.
And before long, that judge stepped down and retired early. And
love that.
That's,
and, yep,
you know,
and
so
appointing
so
for justice too. You have
is,
to build your own superhero team. You really do.
Yeah, this is a build your own superhero game. There's no doubt about it because you start trying to find your hero, and you will knock on every door in town, and they will all smile and nod and say, "Gosh, that's terrible. Yeah, we're going to do all we can to help you," and that'll be the last you hear from them. And
right.
I mean, everybody from the FBI to the State Bureau of Investigation, to the Justice Department, to the district attorney, to the state attorney general.
Now we're writing a book. We're going to go past all that.
To the next state attorney general years later when you go to the next one. To the, you know, good Lord, we've been to
everybody.
We're
going to talk about all this in our book. It's coming out in November, hopefully. And we did pick out a name for it. We're not going to announce it yet, but it's coming real soon. And we're pretty excited about it. In fact, Robin and my son-in-law just released the book. Go ahead and talk about that for a minute before we close off the show.
Yeah, we put our heads together, and we each of us had a lot of challenges growing up. We each had times in our lives when we were being bullied, and times in our lives when we had serious difficulty. With deep depression and anguish. We both had huge losses of loved ones. And so he was in a coaching program, and the coach said, well, you know, what is your biggest problem in your life? Because that's where you might want to, you know, if you've got a sore spot there, there's a good chance other people will too. And he got to thinking about it, and he broke down. And he said, it's my mental health. He said, I haven't been able to think, you know, in a way that has been helpful to me and positive for me for many years because of the way that these events in my life that I went through. And he called me up and he said, would you like to write a book that addresses some of the mental health problems and how we can solve them? And because of my own struggles, I was able to say, yes, let's do this. And so the name of that book is The Software of Your Mind, How Changing Your State of Mind Changes Everything.
Well, it's on Amazon.
And it's on Amazon. You've got to put in Robin Austin, The Software of Your Mind. You might have to put in the whole name of the book because Amazon doesn't know us that well yet.
It's a great book, everybody.
But
it's
The Software
of
Your Mind,
uh-huh.
How Changing Your State of Mind Changes Everything. And or you can go to thesoftwareofyourmind.com. But it will help you to, because what we did was we realized that there are strategies that we did use that helped us through those things.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're both pretty darn bulletproof when it comes to the state of mind. It's you know, mm-hmm. I mean, that's one reason why we've been on this show, on this radio station, for 7 years doing this, because you better develop a kind of a, you know, like I said, build your own superhero.
Well, there's a lot
you've
of gotta tips
have,
in there. Uh-huh.
You've got to have some mental fortitude to be able to do what we're doing every week for 7 years.
Yeah, that book turned out really well, and now we're going to apply all that knowledge that we know how to write a book into another book coming out.
About the probate nightmare that people face in America and the court nightmare that people face.
Mm-hmm.
So
that should be
coming out. It's you know, our little way of turning lemons into lemonade, but it really is something helpful, and I hope that and there are some free gifts that can help. One of them is actually
softwareofthemind.com, isn't it?
Softwareofthemind.com, and there's a couple of free gifts, one of which is a mini manifestation manual.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a short little book that you can download and read in just a couple of hours that really does give you some of the keys to helping yourself over whatever difficulties you might be facing in your life.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And to changing any given circumstance that is a challenge for you.
Right.
It's powerful. It really is.
It's really powerful. And it's also, you know, and like I don't talk a lot about this on the radio show, but with all the stress that I had with our case, you know, with our case going on for probate, I ended up going to school to be a certified aromatherapist and a essential oil expert. So if anybody ever has any issues or problems that they want to solve and just relax, I can give out some remedies. Just let me know. Get a hold of me on Messenger. Hillary and everybody, I make my own remedies. I make everything myself. You know, so if anybody needs, you know, if they have oils and they don't know how to make something, just text me or mail me, faceusradio@hotmail.com, faceusradio@hotmail.com. If you want to know any more about that book and the book we're going to write about, and if you want to contribute to our book, like I said, you know, just give us a short
paragraph or two
about what do you think of the probate system?
You know,
what do you think of our justice system?
And a short paragraph or two, without naming names, about why, perhaps,
mm-hmm.
or what your view.
You can put your name in there. What
your
state you're from? You know, but we're not going to take personal cases of, you know, your mother or this mother, your dad, you know, I'm going to tell some of my story in there, but it's not going to be a huge story. It's going to be some stories, but we're going to use my family and some other families as examples in the book of what can happen to you, because remember, I was a guardianship of my husband.
Actually, we're going to use a fictionalized family that may have some resemblances to your family.
Yeah, right, exactly. and I also was a guardian to my husband, too, before he passed. I was a guardian to him. I have a story in there of him. You know, I was also a trustee on my daughter's case too, as well, and a co-guardian with my mom. So I think I can write this book and let everybody understand how I know how the system is supposed to work as a guardian.
It's actually a laugh riot when you know the whole story.
Yeah. So anyway, I think we're going to go ahead and end the radio show tonight. Hillary, thank you for coming on once again. I'm sure Marcy Freeman is exhausted and taking the night off.
Wherever she is, God bless us, everyone.
Yeah, and
thank you. But if I could just say one thing, hearing you said, Luann,
I'll get the documents ready for you and Robin. I like to sign both of you up as my pre-need guardian. Congratulations on your book, Robin, and always a pleasure. And we'll be praying for our guests go the way that they should. And thank you for sharing.
I'm going to work with Ed Vallejo and get her on the phone with him, maybe possibly tomorrow, Diane, to see what he can do about your foreclosure, because he is great what he does, you guys. They are exposing a lot of stuff going on. He might be able to help you
and helping a
documents.
Lot of people. He may very well have some strategies that can work for you in your situation. So we will put you two together.
I appreciate this very much. Thank you for having me.
You're
very welcome. There's really no thanks needed. We're grateful that you're
Mom,
willing to
tell
your story and share. I believe that you're helping a lot of people by being willing to open up and share.
And I know your mom is probably up there with my mom and Marcy's mom and Hillary's mom and everybody's mom. They're all looking down at their proud girl.
Patting us all on the back saying, nice work.
Along with Zena and
Marty
Oakley, they're all looking down saying, you go, girl,
I hope so. thank you very much.
Yeah, well,
welcome.
Condolences to your mom, we hear these stories and we just want to keep telling them and getting the word out. And
I want you also know, I once in a while I'll talk a little bit about the faith that I have, but I do believe that that we are made of divine fire, that the inner nature of a human being is God nature. God breathed life into us, and we have power within us that is unbelievable and astounding. And when we pray, if we believe that we receive that prayer, then we do receive that prayer. I want you to know that that when I say I'll be praying for you, I believe that prayer will take action, and that God does respond to us when we are faithful in praying. And so I'll be praying for you. And that doesn't just go for you, Diane. I'll be praying for you, but for all of you out there who are facing these difficulties and challenges, we stand with you, and we are praying with you and praying for you. And I do believe in the power of the Almighty that we're bringing that to bear, and we will changes in our lifetimes that will bring justice to a lot of these places where we're looking at injustice at the present.
Right, and we'll be having some more stories on next week, and I think we might take a few weeks off. I'm not sure yet exactly what's going to go on. Everyone's begging us to stay on, and I usually take a couple weeks off in June, but you never know. We might stay on. We don't know yet. We're going to see what happens. But I know we'll have someone coming on here next week. It's a fascinating story coming on. And we have a young boy that hasn't seen his dad for over 4 years. And the guardians are keeping that family away from this little boy from seeing their dad. So we're going to have that story coming on next week. And she's been on a show once before. Her name is Sue. But we're going to bring her possibly on next week. We're going to look at that and talk about that this next week. But I want to say congratulations to my niece. She's valedictorian coming up. We're having her graduation tomorrow. And my granddaughter got up there and sang a beautiful song in front of the whole school for her concert. So we're very proud for all the kids that are graduating out there and for all the kids that are continuing in school. There's so many good students out there. And also, oh, my gosh, my heart is so broken. Tina Turner passed away today.
Mm-hmm.
The good rock and roller boy. I can do the
turn.
Yeah. Woo-woo. Anyway, we heard about that news today.
Awesome.
Yeah, she was awesome. So, anyway.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Remember,
good night,
justice
Rick.
Requires transparency and accountability. Oh, I hear a wait. Go ahead.
And giving up is not an option.
Yeah. And I always say the fix is in by Belinda Parker Brown, too. I always say that, I tell you. That lady is something else. But very good night, and we will.
Diane, thank you. Good night.
And thank you for coming on to our show. We appreciate you.
Great.
Good night, everybody.
Good.
Bye-bye.
We're going to play Devil's Courtroom here real quick. Here we go.